My name's Sarah Clinch, and I'm a postdoctoral researcher over in the School of Computing and Communications. And I guess my slant on wearables is really looking at one specific application. So I'm working on a project called Recall, and that project is about how technology will start to really enhance our human memory. So how wearables and other technologies can be used as a memory augmentation tool. This isn't really anything new. So humans have always used technology to augment their memory. And in fact, many technologies themselves have been driven or by the uses that humans put them to, and they're never quite what people originally envisaged them as. So language and art have always been used to convey messages, and those messages often capture some of our experiences, and they may be used for our own personal memories or for collective memories. We want to share something with the community and allow the community to remember that. So here we have some examples of cave art, but also writing. And then more recently, the use of mobile phone and other devices. So it's quite common now for people to see for perhaps a flyer, and they'll take a photo of it with their phone. That wasn't what the phone was originally designed for, but it is how people are now using that technology to help support their memories. So technology's always had a massive impact on the way that we remember things. But right now there are three interesting trends that we think are really shaping the way that we move towards actually a transformation in the way that we remember things and the way that technology helps us to remember things. And the first of these is something that wearables is really a big driver in. We now are at a point where we can basically continuously collect our experiences, and we can continuously collect things that can be used in the future as memory cues. So this obviously covers wearables. So this is things like, this is a wearable camera, which I'm also wearing today. All the biometrics data that people are collecting, so things like Fitbit, but also things like kind of pulse rate monitors and those kinds of things. And obviously all those wearables are a massive source of information that kind of capture our experiences. But there's also other data that we can pull in. So things like our social networks, our online calendars, our agendas, all of that information can be folded together to give a really good picture of what we're actually doing in our everyday. And because we have this near collection of memory cues, we get a really good picture of our experiences. So that's the first trend. The second trend is this, once we have all of this data, we now really have the capacity to store and process that data in a way that we didn't perhaps have before. So things like cloud services are now very, very common. We can offload our data and run lots of interesting things on that to try and extract the cues. So that's not only our individual cues, but actually collectively, what are we doing as a population? And then a third trend is the presence of ubiquitous displays. So within our environments, it's very difficult now not to be somewhere where you can see a digital display. So you can all see this projector in your offices. You can probably see several computer screens. As you go outside, you can see screens. But actually, again, if you look at things like wearables, you know, your watch might have a screen, your phone has got a screen, all these things that you carry around with you all the time, you're never very far from a digital screen. And this presents a really interesting opportunity for you to present back those memories that you captured earlier with those wearables and other devices, and display cues that are designed to help trigger your recall. And you can do that in real time at the point at which is needed. So we believe that actually by combining these trends, you've got the potential to create memory augmentation systems that radically transform the way that we remember things. In the same way that language and writing things down change the way that we remember things, that we're able to pass things on, we suddenly now have the capacity to do this in a new way. So we're hoping to kind of rethink and redefine memory augmentation. It's not just about the technology doing the memory for us, but actually how do we fold that into the way we already remember? Being able to write things didn't stop us remembering, it changed the way that we remember. And in the same way, we think that's what's going to happen with the technology. And this has a really wide range of application areas. So for example, for behaviour change, one of the real drivers for things like positive behaviour, so things like going for a run, is that it's really hard to remember actually how much you enjoyed that experience last time. What you remember right now is that you're sat on your chair and it's quite hard for you to want to move. If you could remember that you've already eaten, you know, 4 or 5 chocolate bars this week, would that change, you know, what you were going to do next? And although if you really thought about things, you might remember them, you don't have those cues at the point at which you're making those decisions. Similarly, there are obvious applications for learning. So if you have a better memory, that's going to transform the way that you learn things. And then there are some perhaps slightly less obvious ones. So there's advertising. So if you could present back to somebody, for example, when they were passing a suitcase shop, the last time they were travelling through the airport and their wheel got stuck on their suitcase, would that change their shopping behaviour? Could you somehow advertise products using people's past experiences? And then there's one about forgetting. So memory is obviously very important, but what you remember also changes what you forget. And there's a phenomenon in psychology about if you can stress particular memories, that can sometimes help you forget other associated memories. So the experience that people tend to kind of see an analogy here is with your wedding day. So when you get married, people take lots of photos. And I guess this is true of lots of other big events. Most people's memories kind of coalesce around those photos. You don't remember very many things that aren't in those photos. And that's because you spent lots of time rehearsing the things that are in those photos. And so that has really interesting implications for memory augmentation. If you start to kind of promote some memories, potentially you can help people forget things that they didn't really want to remember, like the talk that didn't go so well. And then finally, there's an obvious application as well for people who maybe already have some memory impairments and memory difficulties. So we have a growing population with dementia. And so that's an application area. And then there's just a few more examples of things that we do kind of have a need for the memory on an everyday basis. So could you have a memory system that helped you to learn new colleagues when you moved into a new environment, that helped you learn a language or a skill, that helped you remember important events that contribute to your identity? All of those things are potentially areas for this technology. But there are different ways of approaching this problem, and I've talked about this a little bit, but I just wanted to go into a bit more detail. If you think about the way you go on holiday, everybody has different approaches to going on holiday, right? So some people will go to a hotel, and they'll basically take their suitcase, but they won't take anything else, they'll get to the hotel, they'll eat in the hotel, they'll sleep in the nice bed that's there. And so what they're doing there is they're relying on the infrastructure of the hotel. And that's something that we can do in memory augmentation as well, right? So we can draw on things like the displays in our environment. We can draw on the CCTV camera that happened to be capturing pictures that you were in. Another approach is basically you carry it all with you. So you go in your caravan and you take your entire holiday with you. So everything you will ever need, you shove it in the caravan and off you go. And again, we can do this with memory augmentation. We can carry all of these wearable devices, lots of different wearable devices. We can store it all on our phones. We don't necessarily have to push it out to the cloud at all. So there are situations in which those different approaches work. So if we go back to the sort of caravan options, so carrying lots of things around with us, this is a really interesting approach. So the benefits here are that you basically get lots of continuous data streams. So I have this thing capturing photos every 30 seconds. So it has a really continuous feed of everything I'm doing today. And I've got my Fitbit data, and I've got all of that stuff, and I can fold that together, and that's really interesting. But as you can see from these pictures, it's not always completely representative of my experiences. So this is my photos from a day I spent in the Lake District. So there's my breakfast shot. You don't really get a particularly great view of what I had for breakfast. I went out for a walk, and you kind of get some of that. I got a lot of pictures of ceilings and light fittings. And then there's some bits here about doing some work. They give you some idea of your experiences, but it's not necessarily a complete view. And then, obviously, you can use the same approach to present those memories back. The alternative approach is that you basically rely on the infrastructure. And so here we have a fixed camera, and we have some displays. But what gets really interesting is when you start to combine these, because you get a much wider picture of what's going on. So here we have an example of a working lunch. And if we just used the wearable data at the top corner, that's really useful for getting a good picture of the details. You get a good feel for what he was actually having for lunch. And that there was, you know, some interesting discussion going on. But it actually completely misses the fact that there's 3 people in this conversation. one of them's completely excluded from that wearable view just because of the angle from where it was sat. And so by combining the two data sets together, you get a much better picture of what's going on. But there's actually, there's another viewpoint here that's being missed. And to look at this, we ran a bit of a sort of an explorative study. So the photos that you saw earlier from my week in the Lake District, that was this. So we ran a three-day study in the Lake District. We had 21 people in a hostel. And what we did was we instrumented that hostel with lots of those fixed cameras that I've shown. We also gave people one of these wearable cameras each, and we encouraged them to bring their own devices. Whatever you've got, bring it. Let's play with the data, let's see what we get. And we had a schedule that incorporated a nice mixture of tasks, so we got to see what the different devices captured for different kinds of events. So we did some cooking, obviously did some eating. We had some workshop discussions and some meetings, but we also encouraged people, for example, to go out on hikes, to go out and explore. And this generated a massive data set. So we had over 40,000 images, and we had 3 days worth of continuous video from 7 different cameras. So lots and lots of data. But what was really interesting was not just that you could combine the fixed infrastructure with the mobile and wearable data, but actually that you started to get real benefits from just having multiple wearables in one place. So you weren't getting the picture from the corner of the room, you were getting what the person that you were having the conversation with you saw when you were having that conversation. And so here we have a slightly different set of dinner shots, but from two different people's cameras. And you already start to get a very different perspective on what was really going on during that meal. And if you combined all 10 or 20 people, whoever was sat around the table, you'd start to get a really big picture of what was going on. But that poses some challenges, because actually, who owns that data then? Who do I share that with? Am I happy for you to have my photographs from today because you were all here? Are there some limitations about what I'm happy for you to do with that data? And so you start to get into some really interesting questions about actually what can you do with that data? How can you share it? How much do you trust the people that you're with? And what expectations do you have about that data? Do you really own it? And so one of the things we're looking at is just how we can combine those different bits of data. So we have here just a rough overview of how we can use both user sensors and environmental sensors at the point at which we capture people's experiences for memory. But equally on the other side, when we start to present things back, can you actually use other people's displays? How does that work? Can I use your phone? Can I use your watch screen? And how would I make that work if I wanted to see my memory? So just a quick summary, really. In future, we think there's clearly scope for wearables and mobile and fixed infrastructure to have a massive impact on the way that we remember things. And I think that's something that will happen. So what we're interested in is how do we design for that ahead of time? How do we start to think about how these things will be used? How do we address the privacy challenges? So how do we build combined wearable and mobile systems that will help support that memory augmentation?
Fantastic. Thank you, all three speakers. If you'd all like to come back to the front and take a seat, and then we can take questions for all of you at the same time.